Welcome to another episode of the Profitable Audience Podcast. Steve is out of town this week, so I have a very special guest with me, my good friend, former business partner, Andrea Deckard. And today we're going to talk about something that we actually can't talk to Steve about, and that is burnout. Thank you, Andrea, for joining me today.
Yay, I'm excited to be here and talk about this since Steve obviously doesn't know what this is about.
That's right. If you have already pre-ordered Steve's book, you'll know that he talks about working about a 20-hour work week, which I think it's kind of hard to get burnt out at that. But not all of us are living that life. And one of the things that many people that I know have experienced over the past 15 or so years is burnout. And this is funny, Andrea, because you and I talked about this yesterday. And then yesterday afternoon, I listened to a podcast by Shalene Johnson, who I talk about all the time on this podcast. And something that she said really stuck with me, and we can talk about this with you, but she said a lot of times you don't even know you're burnt out. Your family and friends notice it first.
Well, you can speak to that probably more than I will be able to speak to that one.
So I would think that you would probably agree with that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So let's talk about, so we're going to kind of talk about your personal experience with burnout, but I think a lot of people will be able to relate, and there's a lot of global points in this. So I would say, I know that you personally experienced burnout last year, but was that the first time or had that happened to you in the past?
No, it has never happened to me in the past. And that's why when it did happen, you know, I'm in therapy. We love therapists here.
Yes.
But, when it was happening, I was talking to my therapist about it. I'm like, I don't know what this feeling is. I've never experienced this before. And it was like apathy. You just didn't care about anything. And so she's like, yeah, everything you've told me, like, you're totally burnt out. And I'm like, really? Are you sure?
Well, I think it's hard for people with our personality types to identify it in themselves because we love to work. We love what we do. We genuinely enjoy getting up and doing the things that we do every day. We're definitely not in the bucket of people. And there are a lot of people I know that are listening to this that do dread getting in the car, driving to work, logging on because they're unhappy and they're trying to make that change. But for us, we made that change a long time ago. And so we've experienced many, many years of really being excited about doing what we get to do. But then all of a sudden, there was a huge shift for you. And like, what were some of the signs that either I told you, your husband told you, your therapist told you, or you realized, aside from the apathy, which I do remember that, it used to be that I wouldn't want to say you were obsessed with, because obsessed is such a negative connotation, but you were definitely obsessed in a good way with the work that you were doing because you wanted it to be the best. You wanted success for the people you were working with and for yourself. And then all of a sudden, it was like that didn't matter to you anymore. What were some of the other things that you were experiencing?
So it was not wanting to get up and go right to work. Mm-hmm. That was something that my husband flat out pointed out to me one day. And he said, this is not like you at all. You're saying that you're tired. You don't want to go down to work. Like I'm usually, especially when I was excited, I would be down at my computer at 7:30. So I'd be waking up early, getting my youngest son off to school, getting ready, going down, getting to work, working until like 5:30 or 6, because like you said, we love what we do. We genuinely do love it. And I've always felt that way. So when it would be like 8:30, 9, and I would still just not be down in my office, my husband would say, what's going on? I'd be like, you know, I think I'm just tired. I just need a break. And then that kind of like kept being every single day. So that was one of the things. And then also just like feeling, it's not that I needed validation, because you and I have joked before, like we pour ourselves into work to cope with our lives sometimes.
Yes.
When I realized I wasn't pouring myself into my work to cope with life, I knew that, okay, I had to like figure this out. Right. So that was some of it too. And then just to be very honest, just like, just appreciation, not feeling appreciated, whether that was like, I'm not putting that on anyone else for like mm-hmm. how they made me feel. It was like my own personal feeling of not feeling appreciated for, you know, what I was able to get accomplished with the amount of time that I was working.
How do you think someone could differentiate like true burnout with just, because I think we all go through periods of time where we're more or less excited about what we're doing, and that's normal. Like there are days when you are just tired. There are days when I remember I had this like cold that I couldn't kick in January of this year. And it was like, it was hard to get up and come down to my computer, but it really had way more to do with the fact that I really wasn't feeling great. And I just couldn't kick like the allergies and the cold and everything else. So how does someone differentiate between like a true burnout, which I know you experienced, and just, you know, just sort of the ebbs and flows of life?
Yeah. So I think because in my family, we've had a lot of experience with mental health stuff. Mm-hmm. And so seeing that with my loved ones, I wondered, was it depression? Mm-hmm. And so I talked to, again, my therapist about this. And she's like, I really don't think it's that, because like, let's talk through what that would look like for you. So I kind of like canceled that one. And then I was not sleeping well at night. Mm-hmm. And I was on all of the right meds. So like, that's the other thing. My meds were optimal at the time. Mm-hmm. So I know that if you have like something going on in your body health-wise and your, you know, nutrient levels and all that stuff are not right, I know that that can cause those problems. So that was an issue. And then, you know, like I've struggled with weight, to be very honest. And I knew that all I was doing all of the right things and it still wasn't happening to like come off. And so stress can play a huge part in that when you're trying to just get healthier, not necessarily lose a ton of weight, but just get healthier in general. And so I was irritated a lot. Like that was the thing my husband would call me out on. He's like, "What? You're irritated because of XYZ." And I'm like, "I know. Thank you for calling me out on that." Because like I wanted him, like I needed him and even you to acknowledge that, because I'm sure I got snippy with you a few times.
Oh, maybe a few.
But that's just my personality.
Yeah.
And then the apathy was the biggest thing, I think, because mm-hmm. it was just, that was honestly what was the most scary thing. Because when you've been working for yourself and creating an income, and I was supporting my family, mm-hmm. and you have this feeling of apathy, that's the scariest thing, because you're like, what if I can't ever find enough gumption or motivation or energy to do the same work again? And so it was more, not even just about like, okay, I'm feeling burnt out, I need to like change. It was about, am I ever going to snap out of this? Mm-hmm. And so in a way, like that's probably what, like, I won't say for all, but people that I know that have struggled with depression and mental health issues, like that's a similar feeling that they experience. So I can see why apathy is also maybe confused with depression at times. Mm-hmm. But for me, I knew it was just complete burnout, because all of those things. And then I was having more health issues. So then mm-hmm. All my stuff, like my thyroid was not optimal. And, you know, just like even when I think about last year was, or was it the year before? So coming off of the year before in 2021, that was a tough year. I mean, we were still in the middle of the pandemic, right? But mm-hmm. that was a tough year for our family with a death and then a family member being hospitalized for a long time. And then unfortunately another death. So like those things too, personally, like I felt like I got through it, you know, working away at the funeral home or at the hospitals, like I've done mm-hmm. for years. But every entrepreneur that we both know have done the same thing. Like I know you're yep. working when your son had the accident.
Yeah. You know? I was working when I gave birth.
Exactly.
I had my laptop.
Tiffany Ivo. Like yeah. She was absolutely like at the laptop after she popped out Andy. She was
yep. Oh yeah. Yep. Yeah. We've all done that. So let's just sort of summarize some signs for people, just if they're maybe wondering if that's where they are. I think apathy is probably the biggest one, where you stop caring about things and you stop caring about like hitting goals and you know, you were once passionate and now you're just like, whatever happens, happens. I think another thing is just like massive mood changes. So and this is something where I think you probably need to ask someone that you're close with, whether it's a family member or significant other or, you know, good friend, because that's something you probably won't identify in yourself, because I think it creeps in. It's not just one day you wake up and you're just nasty to everybody. So I think that's a big one. I do think the tiredness, and I think the tiredness stems from the apathy, right? Because you just don't care. So you don't have that motivation. Because I was thinking about this yesterday, actually. When you work from home, like we have for all these years, there's time where it's like hard to just get up and go to work when you're the only person making sure you get your stuff done.
We can do so many other things. Yeah. Like going to work.
Right? Yeah. It's like, cause one of my good friends, Sandy, she's in like medical device stuff. And so she has a very flexible schedule. Like she'll work, like she'll be on the road for like 4 days, but then she'll have several days off in the middle of the week. She's like, hey, you want to go to the island or you want to go to the beach? And it's like, what's keeping me from saying like, yes, I do want to go to the beach today. As opposed to sitting in my gloomy office. But I think that like tiredness stems from just not having the motivation. And then I think another thing that we haven't really talked about, but like the balance just sort of gets completely flipped upside down where, you know, and this is probably right before you hit the burnout phase is this. And I remember this with you, like you and I were on vacation and you were literally like, I got to get up and check this and that and do this. And I was like, you are on vacation. You should not be checking anything. Like someone else should be able to do that for you.
And I will say with that last statement about being on vacation and working, you know, I will take ownership of that. Cause I also think I've mentioned like, I need to get someone else to help me with this specific task. And I just never trained someone to do that. Cause it was kind of complicated. Mm-hmm. It's ads. And so with ads, like it's people's money. I don't really let other people touch that. But I know like the motivation, I know having experienced fatigue in the past, adrenal fatigue,
mm-hmm.
Even when I was so exhausted where I literally would sleep like at 3 p.m. and then be up all night, I did not feel like a complete lack of motivation or just like indifference about work. Mm-hmm. And so I knew part of the burnout also was because I was getting into a routine again where I had then like, once I realized it was burnout, I then had like established boundaries for myself. So in the afternoon I would stop at a certain time, but I knew like when I stopped, like I was actually just going down to rest. Mm-hmm. And that is something that is also what I experienced when I had really bad adrenal burnout, probably like 10 years ago. So I knew that that was playing into the stress because when you have burnout, like you're obviously stressed on so many levels and it does so much internal damage. Mm-hmm. That I think that for me was like, I want to get rid of this feeling for sure, but I also don't want to create more health issues because it was like, I was starting to get colds. Like I had never gotten colds or like any type of sickness and I was starting to get sick. And I'm like, this is not at all like mm-hmm. how my immune system works. But it affects your immune system too. So, yeah.
So, and then I think the final thing with burnout is that you start to become resentful of things that normally would bring you some level of happiness or feeling of accomplishment. So you might hit a milestone or some level of success. And instead of being excited or thankful, you tend to be resentful because of the work that went into it and you realize the sacrifices. So I think that's another thing that people probably should look out for is that instead of being excited and happy, it's more like you just have a constant, like, I'm not happy with this next thing. I'm not happy because you're never going, you know, you realize the sacrifices, but you're never going to achieve some level where you're not making those sacrifices. And it's just a vicious circle. And at some point, you're like, okay, something's got to change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think too, our personality, and it's not just yours and mine, it's entrepreneurs in general. Mm-hmm. They take on so many things personally, and that's what makes them great. And so like us with the work that we have done for our clients, I know we've talked about this. We go to sleep at night worrying about like hitting their targets, hitting their goals, like trying mm-hmm. to figure out what other things can I accomplish for their business?
Right.
And you carry that with you and you just eventually like it, that doesn't go away. So that was that's the thing I want to point out. Like obviously working with people in the past, like I didn't stop working as hard for
right.
them. It's just that I stopped owning the parts of the business that I could not control. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't control if you're saying, I don't want to order XYZ product, or I don't want to change the look of the website because of whatever. If you don't want to do that, you're the business owner, but know that there are implications to doing that. And I'm not going to own that and try to put out a fire or scramble to get it done when you ultimately decide at the 11th hour, you want to actually do that now.
Right. So I think actually noticed a lot of YouTubers recently basically just quitting. One really big, I think she's a YouTuber, maybe she's an Instagram. I think she's an Instagrammer. She basically just walked away, refunded people money from people who had bought into like one of her master courses or something like that. And was just like, I'm done. She was making, I've heard, you know, up to $500,000 a month, right? So that's a lot of money to walk away from, but she was so burnt out. She was like, I'm done. She basically refunded money, walked away, and is like, I'm not doing this anymore. I see this a lot with people that make a living on like social or YouTube, where the content generation is constant, right? You can't stop doing it or you lose your income. So it creates an environment for burnout to happen, which is one of the reasons why Steve and I talk about like creating lasting content, creating SEO rich content, because then you aren't on the hamster wheel. But not everybody who's experiencing burnout can be like, well, I've been making $500,000 a month. So I can just like wake up today and be like, you know what? I'm refunding everybody. Good night. So let's talk about, for most people who are experiencing burnout but can't just quit. And you were fortunate too that you were able to walk away from a lot because of the decisions you had made in the past to set yourself up financially, and the other things that you still kept doing, that, you know, you've always had multiple streams of income. So you were fortunate that you were in a place where even though you did walk away from some things that were big income generators for you, it wasn't like someone who is still in their 9-to-5, exceptionally burnt out, and they can't walk away because then they can't pay their rent.
Right, right. So I think for people like that, and I've thought a lot about that too, I would say there are other places that will value you and really be more flexible with you if you're feeling like this. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you're not going to leave and go into an interview and be like, I'm burnt out, so hire me, right?
But I'm experiencing feelings of deep apathy.
Yeah, like, oh no.
Give me a job at your company.
Yeah. But there, you really do need to look for something that's going to bring joy into your life again. Mm-hmm. And then also, what do you actually enjoy doing? So do you like running? Do you have another hobby? I love Amanda, Amanda Creation. So, cause her and her husband are doing all these fun, cool things, right?
Yes.
They're doing, I think the latest one was like they're staining glass. And I'm thinking like, if I lived near her, I would totally go out and hang with her all the time. But like, she's doing all of these fun things. And I don't know if she's experienced burnout in the past. I would think any business owner probably has in the past 3 years, especially with what's happened in her business. But, you have to find something else to relieve some of that stress. Mm-hmm. And you may not feel motivated again in your job, especially if you hate your job, because I think a lot of people truly do like hate their jobs or hate their boss or hate the company culture or whatever. So you have to figure out like what it is that you're going to find joy in again, and then work on that and then look for another job.
Yeah. So I think, you know, if you're definitely in like the corporate world or you have a 9-to-5, I think coming up with a hobby or getting involved in, I mean, it's funny because I know a lot of people are like, oh, I just don't know what I would do. But if you go on Facebook, there's literally groups for everything. I mean, there's a group that I'm not a part of this, but I happen to know about it, that they play Dungeons and Dragons like 2 Saturdays a month at a local brewery, right? And these people are like very, I don't know anything about Dungeons and Dragons, but they're very dedicated to doing this. You can tell, I've been to the brewery when they've been there. You can tell that they have developed like relationships with each other, like they're friendly. So there's really something out there for anybody. I don't think there's anybody out there that's like, I can't find a group of people that could meet some of my, you know, extracurricular needs. There's definitely something that you can do. So I think if you're in the 9-to-5 and you're unhappy, because then some of that validation and appreciation shifts from your workplace where maybe you're not getting it to, you know, your Saturday afternoons at the brewery or your running club, or one of my friends is in like a pickleball club where she like plays tournaments every other week. And she is now currently the champion for her age group. So congratulations, Tracy. But yeah, I think there's that. And then I think the other thing is, and if you're not in the 9-to-5, if you already are on that entrepreneur track, you have to make a massive shift in how you operate, whether it's changing up your schedule, going to a co-working space, cutting back on like responsibilities, even if that means taking some sort of like a revenue loss. I think that you have to come up with some things that you can do to radically change how your life is going. Shalene just cut back a podcast a week. So she's used to do 3 a week. Now she's doing 2. She got a lot of flack from people that are like, but we want to hear you. And I'm like, you're listening to a free podcast, people. Like, calm down. Yeah. But she was talking about how just even cutting back on the one podcast and now just doing the 2 instead of the 3 has freed up so much time. And she talked about how, and you and I were just talking about this, she would be in an airport and she'd have to ask a gate attendant, like, hey, can I sit behind you in this corner where there's no one boarding and record a podcast? Or is there like a bathroom I can go in where nobody goes to? We've all done that, right? We've all been like, where can we go, like, you know, to do the jobs that we need to do? And it's like she said, you know, releasing that one podcast has basically freed her from a lot of those situations, which I think has got to be a huge weight off of her shoulders.
Well, and if you think about being a mom, so mm-hmm. we can delegate a task to a partner or whatever, but you still have that tab open to ensure yes. that task gets completed. So it's like, if you still know that, okay, I'm going to give these things to these other people, unless you know that there's like a very good follow through method and you're going to be notified immediately when the task is completed or like given an update, you're still going to have that tab open to worry about whatever that task is. So I can see how she would have so much relief by dropping it from 3 to 2, because she has to travel and figure out, what am I going to do today and to get this done? Mm-hmm. And I've talked to bloggers too, where they would say, oh, I'm writing 5 days a week, but should I drop it down? I'm like, yes.
Why? Yeah.
Like, how much traffic are you getting on all 5 of those days? Like, you know, maybe like make a better quality in the 4 if you drop down to 1. Really, yeah. like analyze the data to tell you to make the decision and be good about it, because the data shows you that it's the right thing to do.
Yeah. I think the other thing, and this is the one where I think if you work from home, and even people who work from home now, and they used to not, right? They did go into the office, and now because of the pandemic, you know, a lot of companies just haven't gotten back to full time in the office, is that you have to set up boundaries with your time. You know, time is truly your most valuable asset. And, you know, you and I have been guilty of this. All of our friends are guilty of this. You know, checking stuff on a Sunday, you know, going to bed and like checking email, listening to Voxer, whatever it is, responding to text messages that are work related. There is nothing wrong with saying, I work from 8 to 4 Monday through Friday. I will not respond to you unless the store is burning down, right? Right. I will not respond to you unless your Facebook ad account has been suspended. You know, if it is a true emergency, obviously, like, there's exceptions, but 99% of things are not true emergencies. They are just, and we're guilty of doing this to other people, right? Like, we have an idea and we immediately email it, text it, Vox it, whatever, because it's like, oh, I don't want to lose it. I don't want to forget about it. And I think, you know, most of the time when people do that, there's an expectation that aren't expecting you to respond that minute. But our personalities are going to respond. But our personalities and many people's personalities, or if you're in a situation where you're not quite sure like how the other party is going to respond, you feel this expectation to like stop what you're doing and respond. One of the biggest things that I started doing maybe like a year and a half ago was I just stopped working on the weekends. I used to always work on the weekends. I didn't mind it at all. Like, I actually enjoyed it. It gave me, especially if I didn't have anything to do, it gave me something to do. But I realized I saw myself creating bad habits. And so I don't work on the weekends. Now, there's always exceptions, but for the most part, it's a weekend, I'm not going to check my email. I'm not going to log on. I'm not going to, you know, answer a Voxer message. I'm unavailable. And if, you know, several months ago, something broke an email for one of my clients on a Saturday night, and you better believe I was on my computer on Saturday night, because it's obviously an emergency. But outside of that, it's not an emergency.
Yeah. And I'm like you. I don't really work on the weekends. And when I do, it's because maybe like Paul and the kids are doing something,
yeah.
or I'm home and I don't feel like cleaning or doing anything like that, yeah. you know, but it's crazy because we also, as entrepreneurs, we catch up with work too,
yeah.
on other things that we have going on. And like back to the boundaries thing a little bit, one of the things I feel like I've always done really well, back when I was the year I resigned from my corporate job, my boss was like, hey, we really want to keep you on. Would you consider doing part-time? And I said, yeah, I could do that. But I don't want to come into the office every day. So I would do 2 days at home and then 1 day in the office. And I had a great setup where my office has always been in our basement. Our basements have always been finished. So I could go down to work and then maybe come upstairs for lunch and then go back down to finish my day and then come back up. And I was done. It was all shut off. Mm-hmm. And the same thing is, this is how I have my setup in this office. But the problem is that since that was like back in 2005 or six, phones had become more prevalent.
Yes.
And so one of the things that I did from day one, when I started using all of the apps like Voxer and Slack, and email I still have on there, but and I've heard other people talking about this, but I have all my notifications turned off. Mm-hmm. So there are people who will Vox me something and then have to text me and say, hey, I Vox you, it's urgent. And I'll get on then. But if they Vox me something saying, hey, I Vox you, I'll be like, well, if it's not urgent, I'm not listening to it because it's a task I need to do at some other time. And then Slack is also the worst one. Like if you have the notifications on for Slack and you have a really active Slack team or whatever your community is, you have to turn those off because it will absolutely, like you may be like, oh, I'm doing really well. And I walked away from my office, but then you're on your phone for the rest of the evening.
Your office is in your pocket all day long.
Exactly.
Which I think is another another idea that I think can be helpful for people is if you do work from home, is considering maybe a co-working space a couple days a week. I think that fills a lot of needs. One, you can sort of create that. It's fake, right? But it's that environment of like, I'm going in, I'm going to work while I'm there, and then I'm leaving, right? And theoretically, when you leave, you're done. So you don't come home and then open up your laptop. I mean, that's kind of the goal. The other thing I think it does is it forces you to interact with other people in the co-working space, right? Because most co-working spaces have like a kitchen type area, things like that, where you can hang out. And I think one of the things that I've really benefited from my friend Sandy, because she's one of my few friends that works full time, not in the entrepreneurial space. And so like all my entrepreneur friends, it's awesome. I love hanging out with them. Like I miss them. I miss not having them around all the time, but we just talk about work all the time, right? Because it's like, yay, someone who understands me. Like Sandy and I don't talk about work because she doesn't have no idea what I do. I don't know how to close a heart valve. So, you know, we can't have any conversations about work. So we talk about all sorts of other things. So I think that co-working space sort of brings in people that are doing all sorts of different things. And I found that a lot of my better ideas have come from talking to people that don't know what I do because they say something or they have a perspective that I hadn't considered. And so I think that's the other benefit of like getting out is that you're forced to interact with people. And so you don't always have time to like sort of move down that path of like apathy and burnout because your environment's constantly shifting.
You're energized with ideas all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense.
So I think that's a good one. I think putting like strong boundaries on yourself, you know, we talked about turning notifications off. I would, you know, if you feel like you're headed down this path, I would say like have a day every week that you don't open it, you don't turn on your computer and you don't do anything on your phone work related.
And I tried that, as you know.
Yeah,
I tried when I really recognized like this is how I'm feeling. I tried to let everybody know that I was going to be off on Fridays, and the problem is that something always happened, right? And I would get back on, and be like, "Oh, let me just address this for a few minutes," and then it would be the entire day. So it didn't work, and so I knew that if my own boundary was something I couldn't stick with because like people needed me and I'm an Enneagram 8. So like, I'm going to like help give you whatever you need, even if I'm basically drowning.
Right.
I just knew like there was no other option I could come up with to say, could this work in another way? Because I also think that people saw that time off and they were sort of resentful because they couldn't also do that. And I've been in therapy long enough to know that I can't help you understand what you need for yourself. I can just tell you what I need for myself, but I know most people probably need downtime. So if you're not going to do it, then it's just going to exhaust me to try to help you see that. So,
yeah, I think too. In fact, when I sort of put a firm foot down on like notifications over the weekend, I told one of my clients, I said, I'm not going to check this over the weekend. And she was like, you're not going to check anything? And I was like, no, I'm not. And I don't need to. Like, if I worked at the Frito-Lay factory, you would not expect me to come in on a Saturday on my day off and check the machines or whatever, however they work. And I don't think she was actually being rude about it. I think she was more surprised over anything else.
Over your personality. Like, you're not going to check it?
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah. But I think, you know, that's what's hard is that if, like, for you, you set this boundary and then you yourself weren't following it.
Exactly. Failure.
Yeah. So I think that's tough. And, you know, that might be something too, where you have someone else hold you accountable. Cause a lot of times.
You didn't hold me accountable.
I did not hold you accountable. But I didn't. And I'm also, this is the analogy that always comes to mind with this. Like, we all have the one kid that's like more willing to work than the others. Like the more helpful kid, the kid that like every time you ask them to do something, they just do it. Right. Mm-hmm. And then you have the other kids that don't do jack. Right. You have to ask them 82 times. Currently, there is a towel in my laundry room sink covered in ramen noodles that I asked a child to like, I'm not throwing this in the washing machine. You have to take it outside and hose off all the noodles. She had spilled ramen and cleaned it up with a towel. Right. So this thing is, my whole bathroom smells like ramen. It's so gross. Like, and like this thing will sit there probably till Sunday. I will have to ask her like 15 times to do this, which is a whole nother podcast on parenting. But, but there's another kid that if I was like, hey, can you do this? They would be like, yeah. And it would be done and washed and put away within like 24 hours. So just like the kids and those are the kids that you ask to do everything, right? Because you know, like,
exactly.
Yes. But it's the same way in work. Like even when you and I have both managed people, like when you have the good worker, you give the good worker everything, right? Because they do it. So if you're the good worker, if you're the person that people can rely on, if you're the one that's responsive, in a way it hurts you because you get more and more responsibility. And usually you don't get like a promotion or a pay increase or anything like that. You just get more work.
And that's absolutely true. Like high performers always get drowned with more work because they do it and they usually can do it efficiently.
Yeah.
They're not going to say anything because, like, my personality is that if it takes me longer to teach you how to do it and I can do it in 2 minutes,
Yes. And
I'm not going to even bother. But then those 2 minutes add up to basically like an extra 20 hours of work a week.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really good point for any leaders that might be listening to this. You cannot do that to your high performers because they will absolutely leave.
Yeah.
And you have a deficiency in your staff and you need to address it.
Yeah. And we're all guilty of it. In fact, just this last week, I have this huge project that I need to do, and it's overwhelming even for me. Like, I'm breaking it apart and it's going to happen. But my client was like, hey, I want you to have some people help you on this, which I am absolutely all for this because it's not a project that I can complete on my own. But immediately my mind went to two people that I wanted to help me. Right. And she was like, no, I want you to work with this person. And I was like, no. And not that the other person isn't competent either. They are competent, but like the other people are just easier, right? There's less training. They already know things, but the other person has more bandwidth, right? So, you know, but my immediate thought is, well, that's going to take me more time to like train this person and this and that. But I think that's a huge factor in burnout is that if you're the high achiever, you're going to get burnout easier because things are just going to fall on you. Or if you're in a partnership, right? If you're in a partnership with somebody and you're the higher achiever, you're going to do more. You're going to become resentful. You're going to burn out.
Is this like a tell-all with how you feel about Steve? Or
yes. Listen, now it's time to talk about Steve, who's currently on vacation while I'm giving his office hours today. This can happen in so many different ways. It doesn't have to be a 9-to-5. You don't have to be an entrepreneur. It can happen in your like personal relationships with burnout. So I think everybody experiences this to some degree at some point. So we've talked about some like practical things to sort of manage burnout. And you know, not everybody can just walk away, but what if you do just walk away? Like, I've known people that have like quit their job and like sailed around the world. Right. Like, literally, I literally know someone who did that. or quit their job and like lived in, I actually know someone right now who quit their job as an attorney and moved to Spain and is like just partying it up in Spain right now. Now, obviously there's like some level of financial cushion, but what if you do just actually, I think, well, Leong, you know, one of our students, Leong, you know, he basically quit and like started his own thing and then ended up with an incubator and he's doing really well. But like, there are people that just walk away. So then what do you do? Cause you just walked away.
Yeah.
And I remember the first couple weeks were rough. So yeah. They were rough on me. I don't know if they were rough on you.
I think they were rough because I was still processing everything that led up to that. And even like, you know, as I even wrote a blog post about burnout and some of the things that I did, I was even processing it more at that time. And then like editing things out, because what I want to get across to people and the thing that I've learned is that burnout is 100% a personal problem.
Yep.
I can point fingers and say, well, if this was done differently or this was done differently, but at the end of the day, it was on me to set boundaries and enforce those boundaries. And I never did that. And I think in general for a lot of people listening to this are most likely entrepreneurs. One of the things that I found interesting in just doing more research about burnout was that they said that quitting wasn't the solution for high performers. And I'm like, but it certainly helped me. But I can understand.
What did they say the solution was? I'm curious.
No, they said you have to address the issue of you.
Okay. Which, yeah, because you'll do it again. It'll be a cycle.
You absolutely do it again. And even like you and I have talked about this, like I found myself like after I did let one client go, I found myself getting more immersed into things. And I'm like, I recognize I'm doing this. And I have to stop. And you're like, yeah, you need to stop.
Yeah.
So I think having a very good amount of self-awareness or having people in your life that will be honest with you to say, I'm seeing you do this, what's going on? And I'm like candid myself, so I can absolutely take the feedback all day long. But you know, you have to like, obviously know who you're talking to know how you have to position it. But the high performers, and it was interesting because they said it is more with women too. And I thought,
interesting.
I thought that is somewhat interesting because I think women in general still today in 2023, they still like shoulder the responsibility of their family and their homes.
Yeah.
And I think you and I are in unique positions now where my husband does just about everything. In fact, I feel like I'm the dude in the relationship a lot of the times because he can cook, he can clean. But he's always been helpful with those types of things. And he's like the best dad to our kids. So he's always taking the kids wherever they need to go, coaching teams, and then the dogs. Like he's the best dad dog too. But like, I know like you and Brian, like he does so much stuff. And it's when you have that, it's almost like, wait a minute. Like I know for years you didn't have that though.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You just had everything on your shoulders. And to some extent, you still have a lot of that on your shoulders today. But I also think I'm an equal opportunity gal. We have a lot of dudes that we really respect and love because they really also respect and value us. Mm-hmm. And the same thing happens to them because they care enough about their idea or their information that they want to share. And especially in our mastermind that we had, like those guys are some of the best guys because they like want to genuinely share the information with people because they really feel like it can change their life. And when you have a passion like that, that can absolutely lead to burnout at any point. And they're high performers, they're high achievers, like entrepreneurs in general.
Yeah.
Like to be a successful entrepreneur, you have to be like a high achiever and do a little bit of overworking. So even though Steve has that schedule today, I think we'll learn in his book, Family First, that it wasn't like that in the beginning for him either.
Yeah. And I think that's the other thing. Actually, that's a really good point because I've thought about this a lot with Steve's book coming out, because that's all he talks about, as y'all know. There's a difference between launching a business, getting something off the ground. I mean, I've talked about this at length, but when I started the jewelry business, I mean, over the Thanksgiving weekend, that first Black Friday, like my whole family was assembling necklaces, stuffing bags, printing off, you know, labels, you know, 82 trips to the post office. I didn't realize they could pick up at your house, you know, all that stuff. Like there are seasons where you're going to be truly in that hustle mode because you're trying to get something off the ground. That is a huge difference between 15 years later, you're still in hustle mode. right? Like that's where you kind of have to evaluate, because there's probably a lot of people that are like, well, you know what? I'm burnt out, but I'm trying to quit my job and I'm working at night building this. Like when Steve started Bumblebee, right? Like Jen was working full time. He was working full time. You know, they came home and embroidered and packaged and, but that didn't last. Like that's a temporary thing to move the needle. So be aware of the difference between the temporary moving the needle behaviors versus like, I have developed some really unhealthy habits. I don't have boundaries. And I'm allowing, it's really, you're allowing yourself to get burnt out, which is, I think, hard to say because it's so much nicer to be like, well, it's because that person sucks. You know,
could be part of it, folks.
Yeah. The person can suck. Like, I mean, we used to work for a company and, you know, the leadership was not great, right, in that company. And it did lead to, I think, some negative behaviors in all of us, right? Because the leadership wasn't great. But at the end of the day, it was our choice to stay or go. You chose to go. I stayed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we each manage that differently, but you have to realize that there are times when you are going to hustle and it's going to be worth it because you're going to get to the next point. Amanda's a good example. I mean, that girl was like printing stuff out on her dining room table back in the day, right? And now she's got this amazing business and it's really taken off and, you know, she's been able to hire people. Her husband now works with her as well. But that wasn't her, she wasn't making stained glass windows 5 years ago.
Right.
But when you're in that hustle phase, you have to guard yourself against, like, even in the hustle time, I think you have to take some time out. You have to do things. You have to maintain like some habit, hobby, whatever it is, because it's very easy to, one, keep that hustle phase your whole life, or two, never be satisfied. Mm-hmm. Right. Which I think is the other thing that people struggle with is like, well, if one podcast a week is good, two is going to be better, three is going to be amazing.
Right.
One blog post a week gets this much traffic, three will get this, five will get this. The next thing you know, you and I were both in this situation 15 years ago. We're writing 8 blog posts a week, yeah. Right? And like, and if you look at that, like, that's sort of the point is that if you're doing these things and you can say, I'm doing this because it's going to lead to XYZ, which is a long-term benefit. Mm-hmm. Yes. I'm doing this because I'm getting immediate benefits? Probably no.
Yeah, nothing in this is immediate.
I mean,
I don't know. People can say, oh my gosh, look at all the success they had. Yeah, they've been doing this for 15 years. Okay. They made 8 figures. They've been doing this a really long time. They put in a lot of time, a lot of money, and all of that. So nothing is going to be immediate. And I think your point too about like people can suck.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing that I've realized, And I had a lot of managers in corporate that were just terrible. Like mm-hmm. they were just like, you are such a kiss butt manager. That's how you got in that job. And it was just like, I couldn't respect them, but I could control my response to those people. So if people mm-hmm. suck and you're in an environment where you're working at a job, or maybe you're working with clients in some positions, they might suck and they may not know what they're doing or may not be great at leading or whatever, but you still have to control your response to them. And that doesn't dictate how you behave.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did learn that through therapy. So that's why I'm like, I recommend it to anyone. And that's why I think that, you know, the more as I've come out of some of the burnout, because I'll be honest, like the first month or two was tough,
mm-hmm.
but after that, like my creative juices were flowing again. I had all of these mm-hmm. ideas, but then I would get stopped because I had no energy. Like mm-hmm. I would have an idea. And then I'm not like you got to do this. I'm like I have an idea and I'm going to like 5 years from the road, like what's that going to look like? Cause I'm thinking through the entire process to get there.
Right.
And that whole like thing would just exhaust me. So I'm like, I couldn't even give some of that stuff any energy. And as long as the people that I were working with at the time knew that, hey, these are my boundaries now, and they mm-hmm. were cool with it. It didn't really matter. But I think too, I wanted to touch on people who are in their jobs. I think one of the things, if you're burnt out, depending on your boss, I think if you're honest about it with them, and like there's a lot of millennials in the workforce now. So I think a lot of them are way more understanding about this type of thing.
Don't ask your Gen X boss for anything.
Suck it up. Power through all of those.
We're the worst.
Yeah. But I would say that be honest about it with your team. And then also, if you really truly feel like, you know, this position has kind of grown into something that it's way more than I can do, then you should be also be honest with that. Because if you're doing a job that is now like that of something five people, it will take five people to do, like in my case is what it was. Like nobody can humanly possibly do that unless, like you said, it's a short term thing.
Yeah.
You have to hustle through it. But when you don't see an end in sight, then that's just like, that's why you have that dread going into work every day.
Yeah. And if you're an entrepreneur and you're feeling this, you know, think about hiring some tasks out. You and I share two VAs in the Philippines. They're awesome. They're able to do a lot of the things that would just take up time for us that, you know, just frees up extra time and brain space. Like we're not wasting brain space on things that are not, they're not high level, you know, CEO type decision making thing. Right. The other thing is, you know, don't be afraid to like quit something. You don't necessarily like, you know, Shalene quit the podcast. I've seen people quit social media. Like maybe, you know, maybe you're on every channel and you're like, you know what? I'm not going to post on Facebook anymore. That's the one that's giving me the least results. Or, you know, don't quit the thing that's probably making you the most amount of money if you can't afford to do that. Right. And if you can, then be okay with quitting that too. But it's okay to hire some things out. A lot of times as entrepreneurs, we want the control. Like I was saying earlier, like I do want to work with these people, but like I'd rather just do it myself. It's easier. It's easier for me to unload the dishwasher than train a 3-year-old to do it. Right. But if you train the 3-year-old, then you have an 18-year-old that is fully capable of doing all the things. So be okay with training people, be okay with automation. Maybe you pay for a plugin. Maybe you pay for a service. You know, we talk about doing things really thriftily, but at some point your mental health is worth, you know, $29.99 a month for a subscription, right?
Right. One of the things that I've always respected about Steve is that he has always said, like his social, he's there on social, right? And he's like, I'll pay for it. I'll pay for ads to get visibility. And that's kind of where I am with some of my own stuff now, because I'm like, I'll just pay for it. I don't want to, like, I'll cultivate relationships for sure, because that's important, but I'm not going to kill myself to try to get all these social like things created. I'll just put a lead magnet out there, get readers in, and make sure I have flow set up and sequences so I can nurture the relationship with them then. So automation is also it's a beautiful thing to do as well.
Yeah. And I think the last thing is you and I talk a lot about therapy. We both really like therapy. Highly recommend, 10 out of 10. But I know not everybody is open to therapy. And I feel like if maybe you're just not at that point where you want to have a therapist or you want to talk to a therapist, anything like that, a business coach is a way for people who are afraid of therapy to get therapy. So business coaches are actually a great thing. They can really help you, especially if you feel like you're on the edge of burnout. They are good at helping you identify places in your business, maybe where you don't need to be or that you can cut back on. Because also when you're in the business, everything feels urgent and important. It's hard to make those priorities, but someone who has a background in what you do can easily come in. You know, Leslie Samuel is a good friend of both of ours. Everyone that I know that's used him as a business coach, and I don't even know if he's a business coach anymore, but he used to be.
Actually,
he is. Yeah. Okay. I'm like, I don't want to promote him and then have him be like, no, I'm just making millions of dollars with my YouTube biology channel. You know, with Leslie, like everyone that I know that's worked with him as a business coach, he's really helped them identify the places in their business where they need to spend their time and the places that they need to cut. And obviously he's not the only business coach in the world, but I know for a fact that he's done a really good job at that for people. And so a business coach would help you do that. If you don't want to talk about feelings, if you just want to talk about business, you can think about that as well.
Well, I just saw The Best Self Company. They have a lot of good planners and things, but they have a journal that is specifically for burnout. So I think I'm going to buy that.
What's it called? What's the
The Best Self Company.
Okay.
They have some of those popular planners for productivity and things, but
okay.
They have a journal out there for burnout. So it's a lot of the stuff I think my therapist has said too, but she always wants me to journal. So, you know, that'll make
it's always happy. It's always better when the fifth person tells you it. It's never good when the first person tells you it.
It's like you got homework before therapy. It's like, this is giving me stress. This is burning me out. I don't need this.
This is giving me high school vibes. Okay, so you wrote a blog post about burnout. Where can people read it?
On my personal website, AndreaDeckard.com.
Okay. Is it gated? Can they just read it? What's the deal?
It's totally out there. So just go to the website. If you just want to click the blog link at the top, it will take you to the current blog posts.
All right. So we will link that in the notes today. Thank you so much for being with us. I appreciate it. I hope this helps some people avoid what you and I have both been through at times in our life. And it's been great.
Yeah. Thanks.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. Now, for more information about this episode, go to profitableaudience.com/podcast, where we list all of the tools and resources mentioned in our show notes.
And if you enjoyed listening to this episode, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. When you write us a review, it not only makes our day, but it helps keep this podcast up in the ranks so other people can use this information, find the show more easily, and get some awesome business advice.
Leaving a review is by far the best way to support the show. And please tell your friends, because the greatest compliment that you can give us is to provide a referral to someone else, either in person or to share it on the web.
And if you're interested in building your own profitable audience, subscribe to our free 6-day mini course where we walk you through the exact steps needed to find your niche, build a website, grab email subscribers, and monetize your content. You can sign up at profitableaudience.com/free.
Thanks for listening.